welcome once again. This is Elle at Iron Dove. It is another day here in paradise. Every day is another wonderful day to be alive, and I am so happy and grateful to be able to share some thoughts with you today. So, I was upstate this past weekend, in Woodstock, New York, to be precise. That's right, the home of America's peace, love, and personal freedom movement. Officially, it was the site of the famous 1969 concert event billed as 3 days of peace, love, and music. And 31 years later, it is still peace, love, and music. Throw in summer theater and, well, Woodstock is everything you might expect. Totally my kind of place. A real hippie town, laid back, mellow vibe, nice people, very pretty countryside. The perfect place to go for a time out from the hectic pace of life. With no particular plan and a whole day to get home, we were driving along when we passed a sign that read, Opus 40 this way. Opus 40? What's that? I thought. Well, we all know that an opus is a great work. How interesting. Opus 40. I said, let's go see. So, we did. We followed the old rusty sign right and then left, up a hill, left again, down a hill, up a hill, down a dirt road. I was starting to think, maybe this isn't such a good idea. And then there it was. A gate that read, Opus 40. There was no one there, no one collecting the entrance fee, no one anywhere to be found. Abandoned. Weird, kind of creepy almost. Anyway, we drove further up the dirt road and parked beyond an old farmhouse. And as soon as we passed the house, before our eyes emerged Opus 40. Wow. I mean, wow. What a sight. There was no literature, nothing to tell us how it got there or who created it. It was weird. It made you feel small and strange, like being in an alien landscape. At first, we thought it was built by Native Americans as some kind of a ritual site. And then we thought possibly by someone else, again, as some kind of a ritual site, a meeting place, a meditation space. We didn't know. It was just amazing. It curved and swayed and moved like water, but it was completely made of slate slabs. There were levels and pools and a monolith. There were stairs that led deep into the earth and through thin passageways under large rock walkways and then back up into the sunshine. One of the staircases led to a pool full of frogs and another led to a huge quarry. It was awe-inspiring, if nothing at all. I mean, at the end of this great expanse, at one end, which covers approximately 7 acres, there's a beautiful statue of a man and a woman looking from afar toward the monolith on the one side. And on the other side of them is a very large reflecting pool with a goddess, arms raised to the heavens in worship or prayer. It was so amazing that we were sure it took hundreds of people working thousands of hours to build it. When we finally found out how it got there, we were floored. This creation was built by Harvey Fite, one man alone, using only his hands and traditional quarryman's hand tools over a period of 37 years of his life. In the end, he died, falling into the quarry at the age of 72. It was kind of mind-blowing. I mean, this guy built a masterpiece that will endure long after he's gone and long after most of us are gone. And he did it by himself, using his hands. I mean, just think about that for a minute. 37 years. Anyway, when we finally left, we found a pamphlet about a mile and a half up the road in a box nailed to a telephone pole. And from the brief history I read, it sounded like it just evolved, kind of built itself. Each day, this man went out and worked in the stone. Each day, piece by piece, he lovingly sculpted the rock into a journey of self-discovery, a meditation of sorts. Mindful of line and shape, light and shadow, he took his time and he allowed the land and the sky to guide him. He worked his heart into the stone, molded it in an incredible expression of love. I mean, beautiful, really, really beautiful. I recommend you check it out if you're ever in Saugerties, New York. Anyway, it made me think about life and about my life and my opus. What is my great work? Do I have one? Do I even have what it takes to create something so profound? Do you have an opus? What even inspires a person to do something like this? I thought about this a lot, and I've come to this conclusion. Do what you love to do, and your opus will write itself. Do what you love to do, and your opus will write itself. We all come here with talents, hopes, dreams, fantasies of what we will do, can do, and love. The things that intrigue and inspire and delight our spirit. And somewhere around the age of 8 or 9, I think, right before we count our age in double digits, we lose something magical. We forget ourselves. Or perhaps more accurately, we finally accept that we have to conform to our parents' and society's idea of what we should do and maybe what we should be. Unfortunately, I think adults, parents in particular, have this problem of living vicariously through their children and trying to reclaim something that they didn't do, trying to reclaim their own opus. But in doing so, they squash their kids' dreams. You know, it's terrible. Anyway, someone today said to me that guilt is the most negatively effective way to control a person's behavior. And it's used so often and effectively on children because they're so open and trusting. And that beautiful innocence and magic is so handily replaced by society's norm. In an effort to raise, quote, good kids and shape the way they function in our culture, we kill their spirit. We basically tell them not to believe. Not to believe in magic, not to believe in fantasy, not to believe in themselves or their dreams or their opus. You know, it was done to us, and unfortunately, the way things seem to go is each generation gets to inherit what happened to the previous generation. You know, we have to create a new mindset, create a new paradigm for ourselves. When we were kids, we played. Imagination was everything. Fantasy was our favorite reality. But as adults, it's just not allowed. And the tragedy is that part of us dies. Fantasy is so important. I mean, fantasy is what we want. Fantasy is our heart's desire, and it's the seed of our opus. We need to cultivate it. We need to give it water. We need to give it emotional power, which is love. We need to believe in ourselves and our dreams, and most of all, we need to trust that we deserve to be happy. We are free to follow our dreams, but only if we dare to live them. Give yourself to the dream, and you will receive all that you ever wanted and more. Trust the universe to provide. That's what I'm doing. I am just giving myself to the dream. And I know that the universe will provide. I've read that any idea that's held in your mind for long enough with intention and love will manifest. So be creative. Keep the fantasy alive. See it. Believe it. And most of all, do it. Trust that good things will happen, and they will. The universe will provide. I know it, and so do you. Go for the big dream. Take your freedom to choose, and choose it. Give it your best shot. Go after what you want. Live the way you want. Be fearless. Your great work will build itself if you allow it to be the guiding force in your life. Forget what everyone else says. Just do what you know in your heart feels right. Think like a kid, and before you know it, your brain and your heart will be on the same page. You'll be cruising through life, top down, wind blowing through your hair, carefree, happy, living large. Remember yourself on this journey. Remember your dreams. Cultivate the seed of your opus and watch it grow. And if you're not sure what that is, take a moment or even take a whole week and think like a kid. Dream, fantasize, play. Think up your happiest possible way to spend your days. And that is the seed of your opus. At least that's what I think. Come on down and let me know what you think. I'd really love to know. Until next Friday, with peace, love, and freedom, this is Elle at Iron Dove, signing out.